Well, anyway, I want to talk about a prayer for a deeper work of grace. Paul's writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he has said several things in his letter about the church. He has talked about the gospel that had come to them not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. So Paul is confident that the preaching of the gospel of Christ has been empowered by the Holy Spirit and has been the instrument that God had used to save them in their sins, amen, from their sins. So that's what has to happen. There has to be more than just a proclamation. There has to be the power of God and the power of the Holy Spirit involved in that. There has to be more than only word only. And Paul is sure that the gospel came to them in more than just word, but also in power. And Paul was sure of their salvation. And then later on in the letter, he begins to talk about how he is sure that because they have received the word of God, they heard Paul, they received it not as the word of man, but also as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And so Paul was not only sure of their salvation, but he was sure of their standing with the Lord and their work for the Lord. And they were a group of Christians who were standing strong in the midst of persecution concerning Christ. And yet he comes to the end of the letter, and his prayer for them is a prayer for even a deeper work of grace, that they would know God further, that their sanctification would be carried to its completion. And so let's look at this tonight, beginning here in verse number 23, and we'll read 23 and verse number 24. He says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful and grateful for your goodness and kindness to us tonight. God, we pray that you would help us all to desire a deeper work of grace in our lives and for our brothers and sisters in Christ. It is my desire as the pastor of this church and for those who attend our church that there be a deeper work of grace in their lives. And so, Lord, we ask that you would give us clarity of your word tonight. You would speak to our hearts through it. We would see the greatness of God in it and how great you work for us and your active work in our lives today in sanctification. And God, our prayer is that you would do a deeper work of grace in all of our hearts that we may love you greater and serve you greater in our lives. We love you and we thank you and we praise you for what you'll do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, let's look at this idea of sanctification, which is what Paul is speaking of here in the text. He's talking about the sanctification of these believers here at Thessalonica. And there's five things I want to give you tonight quickly about the work of sanctification or the work of a deeper work of grace. Number one, let's notice quickly the author of sanctification. The author of sanctification. Now notice what he starts here. He says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Now, there is much debate in academic realms of theology about the work of sanctification. Is it the work of man? Is it the work of God? Is it the work of man and God in some cooperating sense. But you'll notice here that what Paul is going to emphasize is that sanctification is authored by God the Father. And he says here that very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And one of the things we have to realize here is that while I think that we are to work out our salvation in much fear and trembling, that's true, amen, the Bible does say that. We are to work out our own salvation. That which is in, we are to work out. We ought to work out it with fear and trembling, which gives us the idea of the seriousness of sanctification. But oftentimes we leave off that next little phrase. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And so while we are to work it out, there would be no working out unless God was in us, working in us to both will and do His good pleasure. So there is in a sense, a cooperative aspect in sanctification, but I don't believe it's 50-50. I believe that the majority of sanctification is a work of God in and of us, and that works out in us. But I'm interested in how he phrases this in this verse. He says, the very God of peace. You understand that salvation has brought us a peace with God. That we were enemies of God, hostile toward God, alien to God, and yet through Christ Jesus, we are brought back face to face with God. We are brought back to a relationship with God. And we tonight who are saved by grace through faith in Christ, we are at peace with God. Now, let me just say something about the harmony of peace. Because I'm afraid some people think that the peace that we have with God, our salvation, was a ceasefire. Well, what do I mean by that? So I think some people think that salvation is them laying down their arms and God laying down His, so that both can sort of exist and somehow coexist and still retain their same demeanor and their same ideas. I do want to squash that tonight. Salvation is not a ceasefire. Salvation is an absolute, unconditional surrender to the terms that are set forth by God Almighty. You will submit yourself to those terms. You will bow your knee to Him or you're not saved. It's not a ceasefire. It is an absolute, unconditional, unqualified surrender of you to the terms of God. You accept Christ as your Savior. You submit to God, His Lordship, His authority, or you don't have salvation, amen? Or you don't have peace with God. So in this idea, God has brought harmony between God and man through Christ because God is the God of peace. Well, of course, you understand that peace has to be maintained, amen? And so how does God do that? Because you understand that when God saves us, He hasn't really changed us. I still have that rebel heart. I still have that rebel attitude. I'm still full of me, full of self. Although now I have the addition of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There is this battle that rages, this war that goes on. Paul said, that which I want to do, I wind up not doing. That which I don't want to do, that's what I wind up doing. So there's a battle going on in our hearts with this idea of salvation and sanctification. But that's the idea of what God is doing here. What's He doing here? Well, to bring happiness to our relationship with Him, He must begin to conform us to the image of His Son. I talk to people sometimes about salvation and about backsliding and things like that, and it's almost as if I get the idea that some people believe that In God's kingdom, there's a bunch of rebels running around trying to think of how to overthrow the king. There's none of that. Amen? Because what God is doing right now is he's not only brought peace, but he's maintaining peace by making us and conforming us to the image of his Son. Amen? He's working in us to desire to do the will of the king. He's working in us to want to obey and to please him. And so here, the prayer is to God the Father, because God the Father is the author of sanctification, and if it was a work of man, why pray? Well, we pray because it's the work of God, primarily. Amen? Notice number two, the activity of sanctification. He says here, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now, what does the word sanctify mean? Well, it means to set apart. And sanctification is a twofold process. Let me say this. It's an ongoing process. It is a gradual, ongoing, progressive process. And the thing that we need to realize is that as far along as we are with God, or we think we are, we're nowhere near where we should be. Amen? And so, this prayer of sanctification is important. So, what's the twofold method or the twofold work of sanctification? Number one, it's a cleansing from. It's a cleansing from, or a movement from, a turning from the pursuit of sin. It's a cleansing from a practice of sin. And it's a cleansing from the pattern of sin. Amen? Sanctification is a gradual, progressive work in which we are being turned from sin. Our desire for sin, the pleasure we receive in sin, we're being turned from that. Amen? And so he's turning us from this pattern of sin in our life. He's turning us from this desire to practice sin and the pursuit of sin. Now, sin does have pleasure for a season. But as you move on with God, your taste for sin becomes less desirable. Amen? Well, why is that? Because God's turning us from that. That's the work of sanctification. He is turning us from those things. But, I said it's twofold. It's a cleansing from, but it is a consecration to. He's turning you from sin, sinful desires, sinful practices, sinful patterns, but he's turning you to God so that you will become more and more dedicated to the Lord, more and more conformed to the Lord, more and more in communion with the Lord. So sanctification is turning you from sin, turning you from the world, turning you from the flesh, but yet turning you toward God and toward dedicating yourself to Him and loving Him and being conformed to Christ and communing with Him. Now, as I said, that's a gradual process. It's a progressive process. And some of us, we haven't turned very much. Amen? But we're turning. Right? So, the idea that you can make a true, genuine profession of faith and then sometime later be in the same position or worse, I don't think that's salvation. Because I think conversion and salvation, or the process of salvation, includes the work of sanctification. There is conversion, there is sanctification, and there is justification. All of those things make up the work of salvation. And so, when we're saved, God is turning us from these things toward Him so that our lives should become less about sin, less about me, less about the world, and more about Him. Right? If the true, genuine work of sanctification is happening. And what Paul is praying is that God do it more. God do it. Do the work of sanctification in the life of these believers at Thessalonica. Amen? And so the longer you've been with God, the greater you should have been turned. Say amen. The more we should be dedicated, consecrated to Him. And the less, to some degree, the less sin ought to be an allurement to us. Sometimes you don't even notice that. Right? There used to be things that were important in my life that are no longer important. And I'm ashamed that they were important. Amen. When I first got saved, there were things that, I tell you what, I think it's crazy that a church have church on Super Bowl night. Don't they understand? This is Super Bowl night. Right? And it really was a Super Bowl because I was a Cowboys fan and they were in a lot of them. But the longer I have been with Christ, the longer I have been saved, you know what? I don't even, Super Bowl, I don't care. I'd rather be at church. Amen? No, what is that? That's the work of Christ, the work of God in our salvation through sanctification. So the activity of sanctification is a cleansing from the things of sin to a consecration to the Lord. Now, look at the areas of sanctification. Paul says, God of peace, sanctify them, cleanse them from sin, consecrate them to yourself, and do it wholly. Do it entirely. Don't miss one single aspect of their lives. Consecrate it all. Amen? What does he mean by that? Well, notice what he says. He says, sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm praying that you'll sanctify their body, sanctify their spirit, sanctify their souls. The entirety of man, sanctify it. Turn every bit of them from sin and turn every bit of them to you. Now, let me sort of break that down into two aspects so that we understand that sanctification is not partial. It's not partial. You're not sanctified at church and then unsanctified on the job. Say amen. You're not sanctified in your mind and not in your body. So let's start. The areas of sanctification include, number one, the outward actions are our bodies. Sanctify their bodies is what Paul says. And this is what he told the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 6:20. He says, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You understand when you were saved that you surrendered to the purchase of God? Amen? He owns you. Your body is not yours, it's God's. Your spirit is not yours, it's God's. And so he says here, sanctify their bodies. Now, of course, that means, I think, sanctify the deeds done in their body. Now, let's think about this. We said sanctification was a turning from sin and turning to God, turning from the pleasures and the desires of sin to being consecrated to God. So how does that work out in our bodies? Well, it works out this way. It matters what we see with our eyes, doesn't it? Do this. It matters what we hear with our ears, doesn't it? It matters what we touch with our hands. where we go with our feet, it matters. Because if we're God's, we are being sanctified, and our eyes should be being turned from sin to Him. Our ears should be wanting to hear Him. Our hands should be wanting to feel Him, and our feet ought to go where He's at. But what do we see primarily? Eyes that don't want to see Him, ears that don't want to hear Him, feet that don't want to go where He's at. Right? But the work of sanctification is an entire work, not a partial work. And so that does, sanctification does involve our bodies, our outward actions. Sanctify our ears, sanctify our eyes, sanctify our tongue, sanctify our hands, sanctify our legs and our feet, sanctify everything external about us. Amen? So that we glorify God in our bodies. And then, of course, the soul and the spirit, let's combine them tonight and talk about sanctifying the inward attitude. Not only the outward actions, but the inward attitude. Do you know that it's easier to externally look sanctified and internally not be sanctified at all? Right? You can shake hands and hug somebody's neck, and all while in your heart you hate their guts. Say amen. So it's not just an, you know, sometimes we think sanctification is just an outward body work of God, when it's really not. It's also an inward work of our attitudes. And so what I think Paul is talking about here is, Lord, sanctify not only their bodies, don't not only sanctify their eyes and their ears and their mouths and their hands and their feet, but sanctify their thoughts. What do you think about when there's nothing else to think about? Does your mind go to God ever? Sanctify our thoughts. Turn my thoughts from selfishness and sinfulness to You. Our motives, our ambitions, our reactions to things, our disposition, our priorities. God, make my priority You. Our focus, our preoccupations, our fantasies. What do we sit around and daydream about? God? Our objectives, our purposes, our desires, our feelings, our preferences. Well, that's a big one, isn't it? Because our preferences are normally about us and not God. Our demands, all of these must be sanctified, amen? And all of these are in the work of sanctification. So, sanctification, listen to me, sanctification leaves nothing unchanged in our lives. It affects the outward, it affects the inward. And if we're saved, sanctification is happening, and it affects every part of our being. Notice, fourthly, the aim of sanctification. Paul says this, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus." So there's the aim, that we would be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now let me tell you what that doesn't mean before I tell you what it does mean. Doesn't mean that God's going to make you perfect before Jesus comes. Notice the word preserved. It's a word that means to guard or to keep in the right place, to keep in the right path. Blameless means to be without accusation. And so what Paul's asking the Lord to do here is to make sanctification an unified aim. That's he's got a unified aim. In other words, He wants us to be preserved on the right path in all places so that the people at work can't find fault with you from your profession at church. Somebody help me. In other words, this is what I think he's saying. He wants the Lord to make sure their life or their walk lines up with their talk. Do this. So that God keeps us on the right path, God keeps us moving along progressively, so that our walk and our talk are unified together. Amen? It's important that that's true. How many people do you know? I'm not going down to the church. The church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. Well, if they'll come and join with us, we'll have one more. But it's sad, is it not, that there can be a legitimate excuse for lost people as they look at the lives of saved people. Because what they say and what they do just don't line up. And so this unified aim that Paul has for these believers, that there's nothing hidden, nothing will embarrass them, nothing is going to not be turned up, but what they talk matches what they walk. In other words, we got nothing to hide. Transparency. In other words, if somebody wants to come looking around, we say, well, don't look there. I'm not really sanctified in that place, right? No, he wants everything to be sanctified and everything to line up to the sanctification. And then there's an urgent aim here. There's an urgent aim. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus were to come back today, tonight, what would be the most urgent place in your life in need of sanctification? Mind? Mouth? Eyes? Ears? Words? Responses? Desires? Because God knows it all, right? God can see it all. He knows it all. And as he stands, if Jesus were to come back and say, all right, you tell me, what's the most urgent place that you need sanctification? What would you say? And then you should ask God to help you. Sanctify that, Lord. Sanctify that so if you come back, I won't have to hide that. I won't feel compelled to hide that. This area of my life won't have to be hidden because it doesn't match up. You see? The entirety of the work of sanctification, unifying all things together so that if Jesus were to come tonight, there would not be any area we would be ashamed that he would inspect. And there are areas that we would be ashamed of, aren't there? So why are we not more serious about sanctification? Why are we not more serious about falling on our faces before God and asking God to sanctify us, to help us, to work in our hearts? Because most of the time we come to this place, well, that's just the way I am. You know, the Bible doesn't say God's going to sanctify you in every area except the way you are. Right? You see, here's the deal. I have major problems. Do this. And I know you all just flew in from heaven, and you probably don't have a whole lot of problems. But you see, I live with me. I know what I think, right? I know what I would like to say that I don't say. This is what I do. Let me tell you what I do. Let me confess. I get text, and then I type out everything I want to say back on a text. No holes barred. Here's what I feel. And then I erase it all. Because somewhere during that period, Proverbs have set in. And I erase it all. I found out that's pretty good therapy. I got to say it, but I erased it and didn't send it. If I ever mess up and send one, I'm in trouble. Amen? But you see, even though I don't send the text, I know that I typed it. I know areas that God needs to sanctify me in, and why am I not more serious about that? why am I not working out my salvation with fear and trembling instead of laughter and lack of seriousness? What if Jesus come back tonight? We all say, well, wouldn't that be a glorious time? It would be glorious, but wouldn't it be a shameful time that I have to face Jesus? So may we be like Paul. May we say, sanctify us wholly in every area of my life, especially this area. Sanctify me. And then notice, fifthly, the assurance of sanctification, and I'm done. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I want to tell you something tonight. Sanctification is a sure thing in the life of a believer. Sure thing. It's not a might so. It's not a higher life situation that you're saved and then you can climb a higher level with God and through sanctification. It is an assurance that you will be sanctified if you're God's children. Philippians 1:6, Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, what is the beginning of a good work? Your conversion. What will he do? He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So God is not sitting up in heaven counting clouds. He's active in your life right now, sanctifying you. Because he is faithful. Now you understand there's not much faithful about us, right? If sanctification was up to us, we'd be a pitiful bunch, right? Because all, you know, it's sort of like two men in the woods with a bear. They both don't have to outrun the bear. One just has to outrun the other. So sanctification, I would be okay if I could find somebody that's worse than me. But it's not up to our faithfulness, sanctification is not. It's up to the faithfulness of God. And he is absolutely faithful. He is faithful to the call. That's what Paul says. He is faithful. Faithful is he that called you. So he that began a good work will perform, will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. So salvation is not a half-cooked situation. It is a fully cooked cake. He will perform it. There will be sanctification. There will be the work of turning you from sin toward him in both your body and in your soul and spirit. It will happen because he's faithful. He's faithful to the call, and he is faithful to the completion. He will complete what he began. Say amen. He will do it. Not he might do it. He can do it. He will do it. He will do it. He will do it. Amen? You know how to get your prayers answered every time? You pray something you know God will do. Pray for the sanctification of me, because God will do it. Because he's faithful. Amen? He's faithful. God never misses a day, never calls in sick, never sleeps, never slumbers. He is always, every day, working in the lives of every one of his children, conforming you to the image of his precious Son. All of us. So this idea that you can be saved and yet your life after that doesn't matter, it's not biblical. Amen? The Baptists who are accused of of this, they say, well, you guys think you can be saved and lived any way you want to. No, we don't. No, we don't. We think that if you're truly saved, that God's going to sanctify you. And you're not going to live like you want to. Say amen. But there should be a prayer for yourself. There should be a prayer for your preacher. There should be a prayer for every believer in this room. God, do a deeper work of grace in their hearts. You know, we were talking this morning in Sunday school about 50 years ago, A.W. Tozer wrote about the plight of the church and about how we've lost the concept of the invisible and lost the concept of the eternal and lost the concept of the majesty of God. And because we've lost that, we've lost the ability to truly worship. And that was 50 years ago. Wonder what he'd write today. And Brother Mark had a great comment. He says, that's true, but how do we fix it? How do we fix it? And we sort of decided quickly that the fix was twofold. The church had to do what it had to do to make sure that God was exalted and through the preaching and through the singing and through the teaching of the church that God was high and lifted up and all that. And then individuals had to do that on their own, remove those hindrances of them seeing God high and lifted up. But it also probably should be us praying, God, sanctify your saints. Take your saints to a deeper work of grace. Work in every bit of them. Turn them from sin to you that they may see you high and lifted up. Amen. It's my prayer for you. I hope it's your prayer for me and for others. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that the author of sanctification, God the Father, may work mightily in the lives of every believer. That you will go deep and you will go far and you will sanctify every bit, every part of your children, the external and the internal, the deeds and the motives and the thoughts and the ideas behind them. God, that you would turn those from sin and turn those from evil and turn those to you. So that if Christ were to return tonight, there would be unity between our walk and our talk. There would be no areas where we would feel ashamed. But Lord, we do feel ashamed tonight. There are areas that need sanctifying in our lives. And I pray, God, that you would cause us to be more serious about these things. We would not be so tolerant, but God, that we would see them as problems and we would, on our knees, on our face, we would seek the power of God to move in a deeper and greater way and sanctify those things. And I pray this because I know it's your will. You're faithful to those who you've called. You're faithful to sanctify. And you're faithful to complete. You will do it. We have not, maybe because we ask not. So I ask you to work that in my life and the life of these here, that we would see you in a greater and more magnificent way. And our bodies and our minds and every part of us would be more consecrated to you each and every day. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.